Well, we're continuing our series, Atomic Brain Invasion, and we said it's an invasion that's otherworldly. It's a spiritual invasion. It's an invasion that's being led by our spiritual enemy, and the real intent is to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, the series is really about a call as Christ followers for us to protect our minds from that spiritual invasion. You know, Peter encourages his followers of Jesus Christ that we're to resist. He says this, 1 Peter 2, he says, "Beloved, remember you do not belong in this world. You are resident aliens living in exile." This world is not our home. You know, we're aliens in the sense that we are citizens of heaven. And therefore, we're to live different from the world. We're to think differently. We're to see things differently. And we live in a world that is action-packed, I'll say, high demands. It's a fast-paced society. And one of the great struggles in our society, especially today, it's really the number one struggle, is a thing called anxiety. Anxiety can interfere with your job performance, your schoolwork, your relationships. The fact is, anxiety can put you in a funk and just mess with your mind and your heart. And our spiritual enemy wants to use anxiety so that worry and fear and all this stuff piles up on you, and he knows that it will defeat you. And again, his mission is very, very clear. He wants to steal your future. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy the things that are godly and important in you. And friends, we're in a war. It's a war. And most of the battles are won and lost right here in your mind. In fact, it is impossible to live life and have a positive attitude if you are consumed with negative thoughts. If you want to change your life, and we've said this over and over, you have to change the way that you think. You know, Solomon, he cautions, he says this in Proverbs, says, "More than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it." Life flows from our minds. Your thoughts, what you think, matter. They're very, very important, because your thoughts will influence your words. Your words actually influence your actions, and your actions will create habits in your life. They'll determine the direction that you go, and many times it'll determine your ultimate destination. This war is fought right here, over and over and over. It's a battle that David was dealing with when you read the 139th Psalm. He had just been anointed as king. He's to be, God wants him to be the next king, but the problem was Saul was still the king. And Saul ultimately put a bounty on David's head. In other words, he wanted David dead. And he was going to use all of his resources necessary because he wanted to keep his throne. And so David's in this terrible, terrible situation, and that's the story we're going to look at today. David says this, he says, "Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked." Think about that. "Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies." You get an attitude here? I mean, David is focused on the external factors in his life. His enemies, the problems that were around him, the issues that were around him, those things were overwhelming him. They were creating this inordinate amount of anxiety, worry. I read a lot of frustration in that. All that stuff is out there. David begins to change his thinking, and he says this in the next verse 23. He says, search me. Search me. I mean, those two words have the potential to set someone free. Most of the drama in life is out there. Would you agree? But it does not have to be in here. This is the battle that you have to win. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Do you notice a shift in David's thinking here? I believe this might be the greatest life skill that you can ever develop in your life. It is to learn to change your thinking. David pivots. He pivots, and all of a sudden, his thoughts, the stuff he's allowing to invade his brain. You know, David's fussing about what's going on out there. He's throwing a fit about it. He's talking about his enemies, the systemic corruption. It's, God, do something about this. You know, this is a mess, but nothing changes for David until he makes that shift. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Test me and what? Know my anxious thoughts. That's a verse for our age. It's a thought that could change your life. You know, and so here's the question. You got to personalize it. Why am I so anxious? You know, according to statistics, the people have a lot of anxiety issues these days. We're an anxiety-ridden culture. We live with a lot of fear, politically, economically, relationally. I mean, we could just go down the list, couldn't we? There's so many things to fear that might happen. There's so many things I can't control. So many things, here's the key, out there that create a lot of anxiety in here. You know, the fact is I might face a challenge. I might fail. I might get hurt. I might hear something I don't like. Imagine that. I might be forced to take an assessment of what I believe because of what I hear. Reality check for all of us. Bad things happen. Always have. Life is challenging. Would you agree? It's challenging. It's always been challenging. And as long as you focus out there, you will be anxious. You will worry. You will fret. We all have stuff, but it's out there. But what is out there is not what makes you anxious. It just triggers it. It's what you allow in here. It's what you allow to invade your brain that goes undetected, that goes unchecked, that you allow to take rest in here. Anxious thoughts. And in the Hebrew, it's the idea of disquieting thoughts. The idea being that it's the thoughts that you allow in here that begin to take root in here. I mean, what's the issue? Well, friends, the way you're thinking about the stuff that's out there affects your attitude, doesn't it? Your outlook. David, I mean, he didn't know the science of narrow pathways and all how the brain worked and all that necessarily. But when you read the very next verse, I believe David intuitively, maybe divinely, understood this. He understood it. You know, verse 24 says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Your spiritual enemy wants you to think about something so long that it takes root in your life. You know, he wants to create commotion in your life so that you're overcome with fear and worry, and the anxious thoughts just keep building one upon another. And so I want to ask you, what is happening that's outside your control right now? What's happening that's causing you to be anxious? And my hope and prayer this week has been that all of us could get to a point that we realize God is watching over us. God's watching over you 24/7, every moment, every situation, whatever you're going through, whatever you're anxious about, God is paying attention to it. David says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up," I love this part, "you are still with me." See, David knew this, and it gave him strength. It gave him the strength to question the thoughts that were up here. But it was a battle. You know, when you read the psalm, you can see David pushing against it. Why am I so anxious if God's watching over me? Why am I so anxious when God promises to meet every need in my life? Not greed, okay, but need. You know, the Apostle Paul, he writes these words, and he writes them, he's in prison. He shouldn't be in prison. They've kind of worked the system to get him there. But Paul writes this in Philippians 4. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And let me say something. When Paul says, "Do not be anxious," I don't think he meant that you're never going to feel anxious, okay? That you're never going to have those moments when things creep in. I think what he's suggesting here is that you can't stay there. You cannot live there. You know, there will be moments, there will be seasons even, where you battle with anxiety. But if you live with this pervasive sense of anxiety in your life, it is not God's will for your life. In fact, it's no way to live. It's a terrible way to live. But the peace of God has the ability to guard your heart and mind. You know, Paul continues, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy," what? See, shift in thinking again. What you think about is what you move toward, period. What you think about is what you're going to move toward. And the problem is when you focus on things that make you worry, that make you fret, you keep feeding that in here, those things take you in a direction that's not helpful. It's not what God intended for you. But many people, that's how they live. You know, they allow all this negativity up here, and consequently you move toward it and you experience a lot of negativity. Does this make sense? Let me ask you again, what are you anxious about? Why are you anxious? Again, David says, "Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." He's given all this to God. Friends, when you're anxious, what are you filling your mind and heart with? You know, ask God, say, "Search me, search me." And I want to suggest you test what you're taking in. Check your intake in life. Anxiety and fat, they have something in common. You can't pray either of them away without addressing your intake. Make sense? You know, I don't harp on things often, but this thing, anybody got one of these? Has a really cool feature. The fact is, I hold two buttons on the side, swipe, guess what? I can turn it off. It's amazing. It's amazing. Some of you need to do that. Need to do it often. My point is, you cannot take in everything that's in here, and there's a lot of stuff in here. You can't take it all in and still experience the peace of God in your life. Guarantee you right now, if someone's phone buzzes, 20 of you will be, is it me? Is it me? Anxiously awaiting the next text, the next notification, the next news feed. Why haven't they texted me back? Why haven't they texted me back? You ever done that? I know they see this. I mean, what'd they say? What's happening? A lot of angst. We're not designed to live this way. I mean, it's no wonder that, people today, I mean, so many people freaking out, you know, have become zombies. They've numbed themselves, drinking, smoking, popping pills, whatever, to try and get away from all the anxiety that this creates. You know, I think Satan has some of you on a shock collar with that thing. It's in your pocket. It's by your side 24/7. How many have that thing with them all the time? But let's be honest. Yeah. It is anxiety inducing, and you don't even realize it. You know, you come to church for an hour. You want to be inspired, encouraged. But the problem is, I mean, if you're the average person, you spend 50, 70 hours behind a screen. Got this screen in front of you, feeding your mind. And I've said before, there's lots of positive things, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of benign things, and there's a lot of destructive things. And just lots and lots of empty things, just time wasters. It is designed to hardwire you and to change the way you think. It is. It's how they're making money. You want peace? You have no hope for peace because there's no place for peace because of all the traffic that's coming in. My bottom line, what I'm saying is be very careful about what you're taking in your life. Because I have a hunch, most of us, if we got together and really talked, we'd go, yeah, I got a lot more negative things coming in. You have to understand what causes negativity. You know, what causes that helplessness and hopelessness? What produces the fear and the worry and the anxiety? Again, what's your intake? What's your intake? And let me say something to parents. You know, are you protecting your children when it comes to this? And I know some of you go, well, now, I watch out over my kids. They've got a helmet when they ride their bikes. I don't let them go outside by themselves. You know, I walk them to the bus stop. I take and drop them at the door, and I'm there to pick them up. I manage their diet. I do all these things. Yet many fail to protect their kids and monitor their screens. They just don't. So your kid, if they're an average elementary age kid, they're spending 40, 60 hours behind a screen. You know? And I know some of you are going, yeah, but it's a different day. You're just old-fashioned. Parents, your job is the same that it's been for every generation prior to ours. And that is, you're to teach and train and protect. Are you monitoring? Are you monitoring their intake? Search me. Search me, God. Is there anything that I'm doing? Is there anything that I'm taking in that's taking me down the wrong path? And not just that, we should also look at what we do take in. You know, because what we don't take in could be just as fatal here. You know, some of you are starving yourself spiritually. And you're kind of clueless on it. You have faith, but you don't feed it. And without a faith that you're feeding, what will happen over time, hope will fail and fade in your life. Search me, oh God. Search me. You know, some of relationships are hurting some of you, draining you, destroying you. Some of you have people that you're spending a lot of time with, and they're just negative, ungodly. And I would say they contaminate your intake. And I know you may be going, well, I can't avoid them. They sit in the cubicle next to me at work, you know. I go to school with them. I'm related to them. You know, I can't get away from them. But you still need to protect yourself. You know, need to protect yourself spiritually. And I think Psalms 139 is SPF 139. You know, spiritual protection. You know, so that you don't get burned. I mean, if you don't protect yourself spiritually, you will get burned in life. You become what you take in. And the only way that you boost your SPF is you spend more time with God. See, we keep coming back to this, don't we? Spend more time with God. Spend more time in God's Word. Surround yourself with people that are God-honoring, that want to encourage you, that it's not the person that where you go, they're the most negative person I know. Oh, I'm so glad to get away. And yet we go back and back and back and back. If you wonder why you're anxious, I'm just saying check your intake. Check what you're taking in around you. And then you need to check for some imbalance. And I'm not talking chemical imbalance. That's not my focus today, nor would it ever be. But I'm talking about when you don't have a sense of what's important in life, when you don't know what your priorities are, it's a sign that you don't know what's important. You know, when you get that stuff out, if everything that you have feels like a priority, you haven't figured this out. And we talked about this in detail last week. So if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to that. But what happens when you open yourself up to every demand that comes along, when you say yes to things that don't matter, the backside of that is you end up saying no to the people and things that do matter. You know, you end up exhausting yourself where there's nothing left to give to the things that God's called you to or entrusted to you. And so we get way out of balance. And when things get out of balance, you get frustrated, exhausted. And then you start feeling anxious because you got all this stuff. And I think part of it is we feel like that because we feel like we're failing at what we know is the most important stuff, right? It's a struggle. I watch people, they get so focused on fitness and sports that they start sacrificing relationships, their spiritual growth, Or I'll see people get so fixated on their vocation or on making more money that it costs them their marriage, their health. I've even seen people that it would appear it costs them their soul in the end. It is so easy to get out of balance. It's really easy when things take an unexpected turn, right? You know, crisis, problem, whatever, some challenge. And you become very myopic at that point. You allow a situation or something that's going on. It's all you can think about. It kind of owns you, and it'll overwhelm you if you're not careful. It becomes the only thing you can see, feel, think about. Lay awake at night thinking about it. When things spin out, and I've said this over and over, don't focus on the problem. You got to focus on God and Jesus Christ in that time. What really matters most in those moments is that you keep the faith, that you maintain a grateful attitude where you can, that you don't let your situation contaminate your mind and contaminate your spirit. You know, that's what matters most. Not what's going on. And friends, if you don't sort this out and get it straight, your life, well, you'll get imprisoned. And you will just live anxious, overwhelmed, hurt. You'll become a victim to it. Some of you are operating with high levels of anxiety. But it's different because yours is born out of insecurity or indecision. You know, you struggle making any decisions in your life because you're afraid. You're afraid you're going to make the wrong decision. And I would just tell you, make a decision. Make a decision. Make the best decision that you can make, that with the info that you've got, to go, okay, is it God-honoring? I've prayed about it. I've thought about it. I've asked God about it. And now I'm just going to make a decision. You know, someone's anxiety level just went up. What? I got to make a decision? Don't freak out. Just make a decision. You know, when I start feeling unsettled and anxious, I just start by making decisions. Decisions that will help me move forward. And then I'll say, okay, God, if this isn't right, just shut me down here somewhere. But it's amazing when you make those decisions, anxiety level just goes down. Some of you need to go home today and make 3 decisions. You know, quit putting it off. I mean, you're not praying about it. You're not seeking God about it. The reality is, for many, they'll go, well, I keep putting it off again and again and again and again and again. And I'd say to you, do it, don't do it. You know, date them, don't date them. Get married, don't get married, but make a decision. Buy the car, don't buy the car. Sell the house, don't sell the house. Change jobs, don't change jobs. Move, don't move. I don't know what it is for you, but most of the time, when I talk to people that struggle with indecision, when I get to the bottom of it with them, the reality is they know the answer already. And usually the answer starts with an N, ends in an O. No. And if you just say it, you'd watch your anxiety level drop. In fact, we're going to practice this morning. We're going to practice saying no, all right? So on 3, 1, 2, 3, no. See, we're capable. Now, that only works. Let me give a little caveat here. That only works if you're living with integrity, and if you're trying to make a God-honoring decision and you're willing to listen to God. some anxiety is the result of compromising your integrity. I believe it's really hard to be at peace if you're trying to keep secrets. You know, if you're worried, oh no, my spouse might see those texts that I'm sending out, or, you know, my parents, they might figure out I've got a second, you know, Snapchat account, and I've got this one for the parents to see and this one where I really do business with. It's hard to have peace if you're being deceitful, dishonest. See, you may want peace, long for peace. You may pray and ask God for peace, but you will not experience peace when your life is in pieces. You know, that word integrity, it comes from the word integer. It means whole number. One person, all the time, no matter the setting, no matter where, I'm the same here and there, doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be four different people. You know how this goes, right? Oh, I got the work me, you know. And I got the after work me. And I got the Friday night me. And I got my 10 o'clock on Sunday morning me. And you're anxious because you're split. You will not find peace trying to be someone different according to where you're at or who you're with. And can I suggest, like David, you just go to God and you say, search me. God, see what's beneath the surface of who I am. See beneath this situation. God, help me have clear vision here. I'm anxious because of my finances. I'm anxious because of my health issues, my parents, my job. No. That's not how it goes. So no matter what issue you're struggling with in any situation, that stuff's triggering you, but it's not creating the anxiety. It's inside you. Search me, God. Know my heart. Know what's going on up here. Help me see it clearly. You know, God's word can enable your heart to transcend the anxiety, the problems out there. Again, Paul's words, you know, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, doesn't make sense. I don't get it. But the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, the enemy wants to defeat you. The enemy's plan is to isolate you, to take over up here. The enemy wants to invade your mind. Why? So he can steal your future. So that instead of dreaming and having great dreams about the future, you worry, you fret, you fear, you freak out. You've got all these anxious thoughts. See, the enemy wants to fill your mind with anxious thoughts. And he's done a good job in our society. Why does he do that? Because he wants to crowd out hope. He wants to crowd out peace. He wants to crowd out God, ultimately. So that you can't worship, and you can't dream, and you can't see the beautiful future that God has for you. I would challenge you, when you get up in the morning, I don't know what your routine is, but stop checking the fear cast that's out there. Quit thinking about how everything could go wrong. This is going to be a bad day. I hate my job. I hate this. I hate that. You know, things are going to be horrible. Instead, check the faith cast and expect to see the goodness of God in your life. It will change how your day goes significantly. It's what David did. David says, if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. David was able to rise above the situation he was in. And he was able to transcend the anxiety that you see at the first part of that verse. How was he possibly able to do that? Because he knew God was with him. And not only was God with him, God was for him. And what I'm saying to you is you can rise above whatever the situation is that you're facing. And I know some of you got some situations. But you can rise above it. It's possible with God to do that. God's with you. Don't check the fear cast. Quit. Stop. Check the faith cast. You should know God's been too good to you. And God will be too good to you if you just stay focused on Him. God has a great future for you. Such a great future, you cannot continue to stay anxious all the time. You just gotta go, I'm out. I understand it's a battle. I don't pretend to go, oh, this is easy to do. But as you take movement toward, I will tell you, it gets easier. And the next day, it gets easier and easier. And then one day, you'll be sitting with someone, and you'll go, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to be anxious all the time. And you'll go, because it's what took you from there to there to there to there to there. God's with you, God's for you. God's with you, and God's for you. But you got to pay attention to what's going on up there. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I know there's anxiety. And I know there are those today that are, fear's got a hold of them. The anxiety, it's the anxious thoughts are always there. And God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that they would just say, no more. I'm not letting you take root in my mind. I'm going to allow God's peace to protect me. God, help them to win the battle. We know with you, all things are possible. So we place those things that are creating that anxiousness in us before you. We're saying no more. God, I pray that you would just help all of us to get up tomorrow morning with high expectation that we're going to experience your goodness through the day. God, that we would look to the things that are lovely, and that are pure, that are holy, that bring peace, that allow us to see a future that's great and promising. God, we thank you for your love and your grace. Give us strength this week. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said. Prayer teams will be down front. They'd love to pray with you after the service. We're going to sing this as kind of meditation. Just remain seated. If you want to sing, great. If not, just allow it to be a time of meditation as we continue worship.